We're continuing Chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. It was probably the worst day of Harry's entire life. He, Ron, Fred, and George sat together in a corner of the Gryffindor common room, unable to say anything to each other. You remember they just found out that Ginny was taken. Percy wasn't there. He had gone to send an owl to Mr. and Mrs. Weasley and then shut himself up in his dormitory. No afternoon ever lasted as long as that one, nor had Gryffindor Tower ever been so crowded, yet so quiet. Near sunset, Fred and George went up to bed, unable to sit there any longer. "She knew something, Harry," said Ron, speaking for the first time since they'd entered the wardrobe in the staff room. "That's why she was taken. It wasn't some stupid thing about Percy at all. She found out something about the Chamber of Secrets. That's why she was..." Ron rubbed his eyes frantically. "I mean, she was a pureblood. There can't be any other reason." Harry could see the sun sinking, blood red, below the skyline. This was the worst he had ever felt. If only there was something they could do. Anything. "Harry," said Ron, "do you think there's any chance she's not, you know..." Harry didn't know what to say. He couldn't see how Ginny could still be alive. "Do you know what," said Ron, "I think we should go and see Lockhart, tell him what we know. He's going to try to get into the chamber. We can tell him what we think it is, and tell him it's a basilisk in there." Because Harry couldn't think of anything else to do, and because he wanted to be doing something, he agreed. The Gryffindors around them were so miserable and felt so sorry for the Weasleys that nobody tried to stop them as they got up, crossed the room, and left the portrait hole. Darkness was falling as they walked down to Lockhart's office. There seemed to be a lot of activity going on inside of it. They could hear scraping, thumps, and hurried footsteps. Harry knocked, and there was a sudden silence from inside. Then the door opened the tiniest crack, and they saw one of Lockhart's eyes peering through it. "Oh, Mr. Potter, Mr. Weasley," he said, opening the door a bit wider. "I'm rather busy at the moment, if you'd be quick." "Professor, we've got some information for you," said Harry. "We think it'll help you." "Well, it's not terribly..." The side of Lockhart's face that they could see looked very uncomfortable. "I mean, well, all right." He opened the door, and they entered. His office had been almost completely stripped. Two large trunks stood open on the floor. Robes, jade green, lilac, midnight blue, had been hastily folded into one of them. Books were jumbled untidily into the other. The photographs that had covered the walls were now crammed into boxes on the desk. "Are you going somewhere?" said Harry. "Well, yes," said Lockhart, ripping a life-size poster of himself from the back of the door as he spoke and started to roll it up. "Urgent call. Unavoidable. Got to go." "What about my sister?" said Ron jerkily. "Well, as to that, most unfortunate," said Lockhart, avoiding their eyes as he wrenched open a drawer and started emptying its contents. "No one regrets more than I." "You're the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher," said Harry. "You can't go now, not with all this dark stuff going on here." "Well, I must say, when I took the job," Lockhart muttered, now piling socks on top of his robes, "nothing in the job description I didn't expect." "You mean you're running away?" said Harry disbelievingly. "After all that stuff you did in your books?" "Books can be misleading," said Lockhart delicately. "You wrote them," Harry shouted. "My dear boy," said Lockhart, straightening up and frowning at Harry, "do use your common sense. My books wouldn't have sold half as well if people didn't think I'd done all those things. No one ever wants to read some old, ugly Armenian warlock, even if he did save a village from werewolves. He looked dreadful on the front cover, no dress sense at all, and the witch who banished the band and banshee with the hairy chin. I mean, come on." "So you've been taking credit for what loads of other people have done?" said Harry incredulously. "Harry, Harry," said Lockhart, shaking his head impatiently. "It's not nearly as simple as that. There was work involved. I had to track those people down, ask them exactly how they managed to do what they did. Then I had to put a memory charm on them so they wouldn't remember doing it. If there's one thing I pride myself on, it's my memory charms. No, it's a lot of work, Harry. It's not all book signings and publicity photos, you know. You want fame, you have to be prepared for a long, hard slog. He banged the lids off his trunks shut and locked them. Let's see, he said. I think that's everything. Yes, only one thing left. He pulled his wand and turned to them. Awfully sorry, boys. I'll have to put a memory charm on you now. Can't have you blabbing my secrets all over the place. I'd never sell another book. Harry reached his wand just in time. Lockhart had barely raised his when Harry bellowed, Expelliarmus! Lockhart was blasted backward, falling over his trunk. His wand flew high into the air, and Ron caught it and flung it out of the open window. Shouldn't have let Professor Snape teach us that one, said Harry furiously, kicking Lockhart's trunk aside. Lockhart was looking up at him, feeble once more. Harry was still pointing his wand at him. What do you want me to do? Said Lockhart weakly. I don't know where the Chamber of Secrets is. There's nothing I can do. You're in luck, said Harry, forcing Lockhart to his feet at wand point. We think we know where it is, and what's inside. Let's go. They marched Lockhart out of his office and down the nearest stairs, along the dark corridor where the messages shone on the wall, and to the door of Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. They sent Lockhart in first. Harry was pleased to see he was shaking. Moaning Myrtle was sitting on the tank at the end toilet. Oh, it's you, she said when she saw Harry. What do you want this time? To ask you how you died, said Harry. Myrtle's whole aspect changed at once. She looked as though she had never been asked such a flattering question. Oh, it was dreadful, she said with a relish. It happened right in here. I died in this very stall. I remember it so well. I'd hidden because Olive Hornby was teasing me about my glasses. The door was locked, and I was crying, and then I heard somebody come in. They said something funny, a different language, I think it must have been. Anyway, what really got me was that it was a boy speaking, so I unlocked the door to tell him to go and use his own toilet, and then... Myrtle swelled importantly, her face shining. I died. How? Said Harry. No idea, said Myrtle in hushed tones. I just remember seeing a great pair of big yellow eyes. My whole body sort of seized up, and then I was floating away. She looked dreamily at Harry. And then I came back again. I was determined to haunt Olive Hornby, you see. Oh, she was sorry she'd ever laughed at my glasses. And where did you see the eyes? Said Harry. Somewhere there, said Myrtle, pointing vaguely toward the sink in front of her toilet. Harry and Ron hurried over to it. Lockhart was standing well back, a look of utter terror on his face. It looked like an ordinary sink. They examined every inch of it, inside and out, including the pipes below. And then Harry saw it. Scratched on one side of the copper taps was a tiny snake. That tap's never worked, Myrtle said brightly as he tried to turn it on. Harry, said Ron, say something. Say something in Parseltongue. But, Harry thought, the only times he'd ever managed to speak Parseltongue were when he'd been faced with a real snake. He stared hard at the tiny engraving, trying to imagine it was real. Open up, he said. He looked at Ron, who shook his head. English, he said. Harry looked back at the snake, willing himself to believe it was alive. If he moved his head, the candlelight made a look as though it were moving. Open up, he said. Except that the words weren't what he heard. A strange hissing had escaped him, and at once the tap glowed with a brilliant white light and began to spin. Next second, right out of sight, the sink began to move. The sink, in fact, sank right out of sight, leaving a large pipe exposed, a pipe wide enough for a man to slide into. Harry heard Ron gasp and looked up. He'd made up his mind what he was going to do. I'm going down there, he said. He couldn't not go, not now that they had found the entrance to the chamber, not if there was even the faintest, slimmest, wildest chance that Ginny might be alive. Me too, said Ron. There was a pause. Well, you hardly seem to need me, said Lockhart, with a shadow of his own old smile. I'll just... He put his hand on the doorknob. Ron and Harry both pointed their wands at him. You can go first, Ron snarled. White-faced and wandless, Lockhart approached the opening. Boys, he said, his voice feeble. Boys, what good will it do? Harry jabbed him in the back with his wand. Lockhart slid his legs into the pipe. I really don't think, he started to say. But Ron gave him a push and he slid out of sight. Harry followed quickly. He lowered himself slowly into the pipe and then let go. It was like rushing down an endless, slimy, dark slide. He could see more pipes branching off in all directions, but none as large as theirs, which twisted and turned, sloping steeply downward, and he knew he was falling deeper below the school than even the dungeons. Behind him, he could hear Ron thudding slightly at the curves. And then, just as he had begun to worry about what would happen when he hit the ground, the pipe leveled out, and he shot out of the end with a wet thud, landing on the damp floor of a dark stone tunnel large enough to stand in. Lockhart was getting to his feet a little ways away, covered in slime and white as a ghost. Harry stood aside as Ron came whizzing out of the pipe. "We must be miles under the school," said Harry, his voice echoing in the black tunnel. "Under the lake, probably," said Ron, squinting around at the dark, slimy walls. All three of them turned to stare at the darkness ahead. "Lumos," muttered Harry to his wand, and it lit again. "Come on," he said to Ron and Lockhart, and off they went, their footsteps slapping loudly on the wet floor. The tunnel was so dark they could only see a little distance ahead. Their shadows on the wet walls looked monstrous in the wand light. "Remember," Harry said quietly as they walked cautiously forward, "any sign of movement, close your eyes right away." But the tunnel was quiet as the grave. And the first unexpected sound they heard was a loud crunch as Ron stepped on what turned out to be a rat's skull. Harry lowered his wand to look at the floor, and they saw it was littered with small animal bones. Trying very hard not to imagine what Ginny might look like if they found her, Harry led the way forward, around a dark bend in the tunnel. "Harry, there's something there," Ron said hoarsely, grabbing Harry's shoulder. They froze, watching. Harry could just see the outline of something huge and curved lying right across the tunnel. It wasn't moving. "Maybe it's asleep," he breathed, glancing back at the other two. Lockhart's hands were pressed over his eyes. Harry turned back to look at that thing, his heart beating so fast it hurt. Very slowly, his eyes as narrow as he could make them and still see, Harry edged forward, his wand held high. The light slid over a gigantic snakeskin of a vivid, poisonous green, lying curled and empty across the tunnel floor. The creature that shed it must have been 20 feet long, at least. "Blimey," said Ron weakly. There was a sudden movement behind them. Gilderoy Lockhart's knees had given way. "Get up," said Ron sharply, pointing his wand at Lockhart. Lockhart got to his feet, and then he dived at Ron, knocking him to the ground. Harry jumped forward, but it was too late. Lockhart was straightening up, panting, Ron's wand in his hand and a gleaming smile back on his face. "The adventure ends here, boys," he said. "I shall take a bit of the skin back up to the school, tell them I was too late to save the girl, and that you two tragically lost your minds at the sight of her mangled body. Say goodbye to your memories." He raised Ron's spell-taped wand high over his head and yelled, "Obliviate!" The wand exploded at the force of a small bomb. Harry flung his arms over his head and ran, slipping over coils of snakeskin, out of the way of great chunks of tunnel ceiling that were thundering to the floor. The next moment he was standing alone, gazing at a solid wall of rock. "Ron!" he shouted. "Are you okay, Ron?" "I'm here," came Ron's muffled voice behind the rockfall. "I'm okay. This gets not, though. He got blasted by the wand." There was a dull thud and a loud ow. It sounded as though Ron had just kicked Lockhart in the shins. "What now?" Ron's voice said, sounding desperate. "We can't get through. It'll take ages." Harry looked up at the tunnel ceiling. Huge cracks had appeared to it, in it. He'd never tried to break apart anything as large as these rocks by magic, and now didn't seem like a good moment to try. What if the whole tunnel caved in? There was another thud and another ow from behind the rock. They were wasting time. Ginny had already been in the Chamber of Secrets for hours. Harry knew there was only one thing to do. "Wait here," he called to Ron. "Wait with Lockhart. I'll go on if I'm not back in an hour." There was a very pregnant pause. "I'll try and shift some of this rock," said Ron, who seemed to be trying to keep his voice steady. "So you can get back through. And Harry?" "See you in a bit," said Harry, trying to inject some confidence into his shaking voice. And he set off alone past the giant snakeskin. Soon the distant noise of Ron straining to shift the rocks was gone. The tunnel turned and turned again. Every nerve in Harry's body was tingling unpleasantly. He wanted the tunnel to end, yet dreaded what he'd find when it did. And then, at last, as he crept around yet another bend, he saw a solid wall ahead on which two entwined serpents were carved, their eyes set with great glinting emeralds. Harry approached, his throat very dry. There was no need to pretend these stone snakes were real. Their eyes looked strangely alive. He could guess what he had to do. He cleared his throat, and the emerald eyes seemed to flicker. "Open," said Harry, in a low, faint hiss. The serpents parted as the wall cracked, and the halves slid smoothly out of sight, and Harry, shaking from head to foot, walked inside. And that's the end of chapter 16. And next we'll read chapter 17 called The Heir of Slytherin. I hope you like that beautiful kitten. And it's bedtime for the kitten and for the pup. Sleep well, darling. Good night.